Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Lincoln at Gettysburg. The Words That Remade America by Gary Wills is a work of historical criticism centered on Abraham Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address. First published in 1992, the book examines how a speech of fewer than 300 words became one of the defining texts of American political culture. Wills treats the address not as a ceremonial afterthought to the Battle of Gettysburg, but as a deliberate act of interpretation that reshaped how Americans understood the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Civil War, and national purpose. The book combines intellectual history, rhetorical analysis, political theory, and close reading. Its central purpose is to show that Lincoln used compression, cadence, historical framing, and moral argument to redefine the Union cause around equality and democratic renewal. Rather than offering a broad Civil War narrative, Wills focuses on language as an instrument of public meaning, making the book a study of both Lincoln and the power of political speech. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Gettysburg Address is a carefully constructed political text. A central concern of Wills' analysis is correcting the popular image of the Gettysburg Address as a spontaneous remark quickly written on the way to the ceremony. The book presents the speech as the product of deliberate thought, revision, and rhetorical discipline. This matters because the meaning of the address depends on its extraordinary concentration. Lincoln did not merely offer condolences or summarize the battle. He arranged a sequence of ideas that moves from national origin, to present crisis, to future obligation, the opening reference to the founding places the Civil War inside a longer constitutional and moral history. The middle section turns the battlefield into a test of whether democratic government can survive. The conclusion transfers responsibility from the dead to the living, making commemoration inseparable from political action. Wills shows that the shortness of the speech is not evidence of simplicity, but of control. Its force comes from omission as much as statement. By leaving out battlefield description, partisan attack, and conventional funeral ornament, Lincoln makes the address more general, more durable, and more available as a national creed. Secondly, how Lincoln elevated the Declaration of Independence over constitutional compromise. Wills argues that the Gettysburg Address changed the hierarchy of American founding documents in public memory. Before the Civil War, constitutional debate often turned on legal structure, federal power, state sovereignty, and negotiated compromise, including compromises connected to slavery. Lincoln, in Wills' reading, placed the Declaration of Independence at the center of national identity by stressing the proposition that all people are created equal. This did not erase the Constitution, but it altered the framework through which the Constitution would be understood. The address presents the nation as dedicated at birth to equality, even though that principle had been imperfectly practiced. The Civil War, therefore, becomes more than a struggle to preserve a political union. It becomes a test of whether a republic founded on equality can endure. This interpretive move is the reason Wills can describe the speech as remaking America. Lincoln used the language of origin to make equality the measure of national legitimacy. The result is a moralized constitutional vision in which freedom and union are tied to an unfinished founding promise. Thirdly, the contrast between Lincoln's compactness and Everett's ceremonial eloquence. The book places Lincoln's speech beside the much longer oration delivered at Gettysburg by Edward Everett, one of the most celebrated public speakers of the period. Wills does not simply use Everett as a foil for length. He uses the comparison to show a shift in public rhetoric. Everett represented a classical ceremonial mode, rich in historical detail, formal learning, and extended commemoration. Lincoln adopted a different kind of authority-spare syntax, repeated structures, balanced clauses, and carefully controlled abstraction. The contrast reveals why the Gettysburg Address became more memorable than the main oration of the day. Everett explained the battle and honored its dead. Lincoln recast the event as evidence in a national moral argument. Wills links this economy of style to broader 19th-century rhetorical influences, including classical models, reformist moral language, and the public culture of commemoration. The important point is not that Lincoln rejected tradition, but that he absorbed and transformed it. His prose has ceremonial dignity, yet it avoids excess. The address can be memorized, recited, and reapplied because its structure is clear and its claims are general without becoming vague. Fourthly, the speech turned battlefield dedication into democratic renewal. Wills emphasizes that Lincoln was invited to help dedicate a cemetery. But the address does more than sanctify the graves at Gettysburg. It changes the meaning of dedication itself. The physical cemetery is already being consecrated by sacrifice. Lincoln suggests that words cannot add holiness to what the soldiers have done. This move is rhetorically important because it shifts attention from ceremony to duty. The living must dedicate themselves to the unfinished work. In this formulation, remembrance becomes a political obligation rather than a passive act of mourning. the famous idea of a new birth of freedom allows Lincoln to connect death, national survival, and emancipation without presenting the speech as a policy address. Wills reads this as a profound reframing of the Civil War. The conflict is not only about restoring what existed before secession, but about bringing forth a more equal republic. That is why the speech could outgrow its immediate occasion. It gave later generations a language for linking sacrifice to democratic purpose, especially in debates over citizenship, civil rights, and national inclusion. Lastly, Will's method shows both the power and the limits of close rhetorical history. Lincoln at Gettysburg stands out because Will's builds a large historical claim from a close analysis of a very short text. His method combines attention to wording, intellectual context, public ceremony, and political consequence. This approach is especially effective for a speech whose influence depends on phrasing and structure. Wills shows how a few terms, such as nation, equality, dedication, and freedom, carry historical weight when placed in a disciplined sequence. The method also demonstrates that rhetoric is not decorative language added after policy decisions. In moments of crisis, public language can define what a conflict means and what a nation believes itself to be. At the same time, the book has a natural limitation for readers looking for a full military history of Gettysburg, a biography of Lincoln, or a comprehensive account of emancipation will find a narrower focus. Wills is most interested in interpretation, not narrative completeness. That narrowness is also the source of the book's strength. By staying close to one speech, he makes visible how political authority can be created through form, timing, and moral compression. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers interested in Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, American political thought, rhetoric, constitutional interpretation, and the cultural life of public language. It is also valuable for students and teachers because it offers a model of how to read a short text with historical seriousness. The practical benefit is not a set of leadership rules, but a sharpened awareness of how public words organize memory, define values, and create obligations. Wills helps readers see that the Gettysburg Address matters not only because of its elegance, but because it changed the terms in which Americans understood the Union and equality. Compared with many books on Lincoln, this one is unusually focused. It does not try to cover the whole presidency, the entire war, or the full politics of emancipation. Instead, it studies one occasion and one speech with enough depth to explain why the address became a civic scripture. That concentration differentiates it from conventional biography and battlefield history. Its lasting value lies in showing that rhetoric can be historically consequential without being long, ornate, or explanatory. For readers who want to understand how Lincoln transformed commemoration into a national argument, Will's book remains one of the most important studies in its category. If you would like to support Gary Wills, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.